Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap radio network, from the east to the coast, the east coast to the west coast of the United States of America. We are delighted to have you with us no matter where you are and no matter what you may be doing today. We thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And of course, today we're going to be having our Washington Beat attorney, David New, with us. And he always has a lot of good things to share with us. And we're going to be looking forward to his input into the program today. And in the studio, along with me, I have a good friend of mine by the name of Pastor Jeremy Lundmark. He has written a book entitled The Fury of God. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
In five words or more, what's the book The Fury of God about?
We'll go with more. The short version of that is basically we are sort of in our culture dumbing down. And I'm not talking about the unbelieving culture. I'm talking about the believing culture. We have dumbed down the wrath of God and the fury of God and the holiness of God. And what I argue in my book is that we can rectify these questions that come up with. One of the most popular atheist questions is, why would God have bears maul children in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. Most people run away from that question. Mm-hmm. My book takes it head on and says, look, this doesn't diminish the love of God. It magnifies the cross. Mm-hmm. That's the book in a nutshell.
Well, maybe tomorrow we might be talking about that outside the nutshell.
I'm hoping.
So we'll look forward to that. Anyway, there's a lot going on today, ladies and gentlemen. And first of all, you know, there's more speculation on the fact that the Russian jetliner was knocked out of the sky by a bomb. The British Foreign Secretary said earlier today that there was a, quote, significant possibility that an affiliate of the Islamic State terror group brought down the Russian passenger plane in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula Saturday. The statement by Philip Hanman came hours after a U.S. intelligence source confirmed to Fox News that intelligence agencies have preliminary evidence, including intercepts, suggesting a bomb brought down the Flight 9268. And still, a source tells Fox News that the intelligence is not conclusive. Other than aviation fuel, no bomb residue has been found on the wreckage or victims, according to the source, who has been briefed on the latest findings. But the flight's passenger manifest is going to be checked out to see if there is any indication there that could lead to whether or not this was a bomb or somebody might have been on that plane that could have perhaps been carrying a bomb. But anyway, a spokesman confirms to Fox News that British Prime Minister David Cameron called Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss the crash, and the Egyptian President El-Sisi, who visited Prime Minister Cameron in London on Thursday, called this ISIS claim propaganda. Yesterday, ISIS released a fresh claim of responsibility for downing the jet on a social media account well known to intelligence circles. And so this thing is just going on and on and on. And Sam, I'm wondering if you have anything that you can add to this as this story continues to develop.
Well, Gary, I think what's out there is, again, as we have been saying the last couple of days, we've tried to stay up on top of this, is that this incident has a whole lot involved with it. And as we said right from the very beginning, when it was still unknown, and even to this point, it's not confirmed, although it's appearing more and more, in fact, as you just said, that it was a bomb. If it was, in fact, a terrorist bomb, if it, in fact, is clarified as a terrorist action, then, to me, Russia is not going to sit to the side. Russia is going to have to respond somehow in this matter, and it's an escalation. I don't see how in the world this is anything other than escalation. I would also say I could perceive, Garrett and Dave, that this could be the mechanism, perhaps, that gives the green light for Russia, perhaps, to actually move from where they are in Syria down to have some kind of presence in Egypt, where this group of terrorists are, because Egypt has been battling them, and it potentially expands the reach of Russia in the Middle East, and that, I think, is something to keep an eye on.
Well, it is, and David, before we went on the air, you talked about even some theorizing out there, I'll use that word, that our own CIA may be involved with this to some degree.
Well, Gary, there are some suggestions out there that the CIA may be involved in this or may have been involved in this for any number of reasons, one of which is this, that the CIA actually may have been in some way complicit with ISIS because of what Russia is doing and involving themselves in the Middle East. And so we somehow maybe, or our CIA supported ISIS. There's other theories out there as well that I probably don't have time to go into. But, Gary, I'll tell you what, it's all over the map. But the bottom line is this, something took that plane down. And will we ever actually get to the truth? Will the truth ever be known? There are entities out there that, for the sake of their benefit, want the truth never to come out. So, you know, we're going to try to keep our eyes and ears on this as much as possible. And certainly what we find will report to our listening audience.
Now, Gary Absolutely. And Dave, can I interject here, Gary, as well? Just to kind of throw into this, because that's not really been out there in the press too much, is that there was a second Russian plane that crashed yesterday in South Sudan. Now, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Sudan, Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iran, see, are all entities that biblically are going to be in conjunction with Russia. Well, Russia is down there in Sudan, and they were hauling something yesterday. 41 individuals were killed. Not much is being said about that. And some quarters are saying that this actually was a second attempt to send a message to Russia that they're serious. Now, the speculation that Dave was just talking about could be speculation, but it tends to be going beyond. It is ironic that within the space of two different days, two different Russian planes go down, one a passenger plane, one a cargo plane. Maybe, I mean, in this case, they say this was an older plane, da-da-da-da-da-da. But nonetheless, when you don't have any planes going down anywhere around the world, for a long time, that's hearing about. Now you have two in the hotspot areas go down, both Russian planes. I believe, gentlemen, there's probably a lot of serious discussion going on in the higher sectors of the Russian military and so forth about what is happening.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, there is what we can see here, of course, is a whole lot of Islamic involvement. And talking about Islamic involvement, David, before we went on the air, we were talking about something that really is taking place here out in the Detroit, Michigan area that is tied into Islam. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, Gary, actually, it's Sam that probably knows a little more about that than I do, but it's the first, I guess, entirely or predominantly Muslim city council in a suburb of the Detroit area. And I'll tag out to Sam because I think he has the report right in front of him.
Hey, Sam?
Well, yes, I do. It's actually, it's here, and it says Hamtramck, Hamtramck, Hamtramck. First American city to elect majority Muslim council. Four of the six city council members are Muslim. They ran as a bloc. They're there. A Polish community opposed to Islam, infiltrated, really overrun. This is significant, gentlemen. We should watch for it.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, we continue to remind you that Islam has the goal to take over the world. And ISIS is tied into that. Other terroristic attacks are tied into that. I predict that if we're not careful, that within the next 6 months, we're going to see a major ISIS attack here in the United States of America. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have with us our attorney, David New, with our Washington beat. We're going to take about a four-minute break, so don't you go away. We'll be back with more Stand in the Gap right after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through JS Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Vietnam Memorial was dedicated this day, November 13, 1982, honoring the 58,000 American troops who died. In 1966, Marine Sergeant George Hutchings of the 1st Battalion, 5th Marine Division, had over 200 men killed around him during an ambush by the Viet Cong. Shot three times, he was bayoneted and left for dead, for which he received the Purple Heart. Of the memorial, George Hutchings said, "On that wall is the name of Corporal Quentin Vice, who was hit in the chest with a rocket while running a patrol in my place. A Christian, he had shared the gospel with me, but I didn't understand it till he gave his life in my place."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people" didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And in just a moment, we're going to go to David New, our Washington attorney. But before we do, Sam Rohr, I would like, if you don't mind, follow up. I'm going to ask you to follow up on that you're talking about taking place out there in the Detroit area, I guess is where it is. Some of our listeners may have lost it as we were quickly trying to run down until the break. Why don't you repeat once again what's going on out there and what the significance of that is?
Okay, yeah, glad to do that, Gary. Yes, as a result of the elections on Tuesday, so we know that there were some significant things happened in different places of this country. I think we'll talk about later more on this program, but one of those significant things that happened was up there in the suburb. Shamtramck is the name of the borough right outside one of the larger GM assembly plants right there in Detroit area. But they elected on a group of them and ran together, but four of the six Hamtramck city council members are now Muslim. They ran intentionally as a part of that, and they said, let me just quote this for you because I think it's most interesting. They said that one of them said, "My concern is to give the people, everybody, equal opportunity and be fair for everybody," said this Musa, this one fellow. And then he went on to say, "We are going to represent everybody. We are going to serve everybody, Christians, Jewish, Muslims, everybody." And this was another one who said that. Now, gentlemen, how else are they going to get how they're going to be elected unless they do say that? But Dave, I think you probably can comment significantly on this. Should we, can we believe those who were active Muslims advancing an Islamic faith within the context of our constitutional frame of government?
Sam, we absolutely cannot trust them. There is a thing within the Islamic faith called taqiyya. It is a practice within the Islamic faith and those that are Muslim, whereby they lie to advance the cause of Islam, and they will lie to non-Muslims, and they are allowed by their sacred writings, the Quran and so on, to do so. Now, they're never to lie to their Muslim brothers, but they are allowed to lie to non-Muslims. So when those guys ran as a group and used as part of their platform to get elected the fact that they're going to represent all the people, Sam, that is an outright lie. And if I could also say this, all you have to do is go across the pond to Great Britain and visit Birmingham, England, the second largest city in the country of England in the UK, and you will see exactly what's happening in Michigan. Has already occurred in Birmingham, in the suburbs around London. There are city councils there that are now predominantly Muslim, and they are interested only in representing the Muslim populace, not the British populace. There are places there where Islamic law, Sharia law, is the law of the land in Great Britain in the Muslim communities. British law is not what rules there. It is Sharia law. So, gentlemen, this is exactly where we're headed in the United States, and Detroit, Dearborn, Michigan, will be the first place that we see Sharia implemented for the Muslim community unless something dramatically changes.
And Gary, we've seen that grow consistently. And what we're going to do now is bring in our attorney, David New. Of course, he is our Washington Beat attorney and one that we have with us on a consistent basis. David, I don't know if you have anything that you want to say on this, but before you do, Sam, you have a quote or something you want to share with our people?
Well, I think there's one that's interesting because it's there, and there's an interesting dialogue of postings of blogs following this article. And people are weighing in on a commentary on this very article, this issue we're talking about. Here's one from Ibrahim Hooper. Now, she's a director and spokesman for the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. That's obviously the pro-Muslim group in the country. She says this, "I wouldn't want to create the impression that I wouldn't like the entire government of the United States of America to be Islamic." Now, get this. "I wouldn't want to create the impression that I wouldn't like the entire government of the United States to be Islamic sometime in the future, but I'm not going to do anything violent to promote that. I'm going to do that through education," end quote. Gentlemen, I mean, again, do we believe that? Absolutely, I do not believe that, but education... Well, that possibly that's what we're trying to do here on the on this program is to educate people to the reality of what's taking place.
Well, you Gary, Sam, how many
goal
thousands
is
of
to actually go ahead and do everything that they can to try to overtake the United States of America and bring Sharia law into our country? I mean, you know that that is their goal. David New, your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, it's so nice to be with you. It's wonderful to be back on the program. I heard David Kistler talk about the CIA. Very quickly, I wanted to say one thing about that, and that is the official government motto for the CIA is a verse from the New Testament. It's John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And, of course, that is etched in stone at the CIA headquarters. And it's amazing that nobody, including Newman or anybody, hasn't sued the CIA for that. But it's still, there has been no lawsuits involving that. But it is official. That is their official motto. They did it in the early 1950s, and it is John 8:32. Concerning the Muslim community, the United States has been very, very generous with the Muslim community and very respectful of their rights to their religion. One of the President Roosevelt's speeches was the Four Freedoms, and one of them was the freedom of religion. And Norman Rockwell made a image, the great Norman Rockwell of Vermont, made a painting of each of the Four Freedoms, and in the one for the freedom of religion, if you look carefully at that picture, you will see an individual holding a Koran. And this is back in the 40s. Also, an interesting thing to show you how tolerant Americans have been with the Muslim community, and I wish the Muslim community today in America would reciprocate. There was one of the first Bible cases, one of the first cases to ever oppose the Bible in the public schools that was at least recorded, came from the state of Maine in 1854. The name of the case is Donahue versus Richards. And in that case, the plaintiffs, the people who objected to the Bible, objected to the fact that the King James Version of the Bible was being read in the public schools of Maine. Now, the judge came back and said, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with using the King James Version of the Bible in the public schools of Maine. But if you want, you can use the Dowry Version, the Catholic Version, and he also included the Koran. This is 1854. This is how generous and how dedicated Americans are. And I'm hoping that the Muslim community in America will be tolerant. They have, by and large, for the most part, very much have been. But they need, and they have been an asset in catching some of these crazy people who are extremists.
So, David Kistler, I ask you, how soon can we see the Muslim community in the United States of America reciprocating on this?
You mean from the standpoint of returning the generosity that David's
sure.
just been talking about? Well,
yeah.
Gary, I'll be honest with you. We have thousands of years of Islamic tradition that goes right along with what we see happening in Great Britain, and that is they work in subterfuge below the surface until they get some of their folks in strategic places of leadership. And then once they reach a certain number, then they take over. That's why you do not find any majority Muslim country anywhere in the world that tolerates any other religious faith other than Islam. Nothing else is tolerated. So Gary, to answer your question, it's never going to be reciprocated. Absolutely never will it be reciprocated. And that lady's statement that, you know, I'm not going to do anything violent to bring about Sharia law in America, but that's what I want. Gary, she is speaking truth at that point. That is what they want.
Well, that's what they want. And Sam, what must we do now? I mean, we talk about this idea that Islam is growing in the United States of America, and I think that it probably has a greater grip upon our country than what we would even like to admit, and many people do not realize how bad Islam really is or how bad Sharia law is. What must we do to educate ourselves about all of this?
Well, Gary, we first have to a couple different things. I just came from a meeting in Philadelphia with black pastors and black business leaders and some Indians from India that were there and some others. And gentlemen, part of the concern was for what is happening in this country and the loss of our constitutional rights and the whole thing that we're talking about here of moving away from the rule of law, moving away from biblical principles, moving away from and entering into this anything goes type of a thing, not understanding that if you do not understand biblical principles underpin our constitutional frame of government, you're going to lose it. These individuals clearly are saying the pulpits of America must stand up and become to get involved and speak. It's got to be pronounced and taught from the pulpits of America, Gary. Black, Hispanic, Indian communities, Korean communities, we all must stand up and speak the truth because this ultimately is a spiritual thing at its core.
And we talk about that all of the time on Stand in the Gap, how significant it is for pastors and preachers to stand up and speak the truth of God and to preach the whole counsel of God. That is so very, very important. Well, we're going to take a break for about 3 minutes, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of prayer in America. We need prayer now more than ever, but we do have a history, and David New is going to educate us on that. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Thousands of British tourists are stranded in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, with flights home suspended over suspicions a flight from there was bombed on Saturday.
I act on the intelligence, I act on the advice of experts, and it's the right thing to do to suspend these flights until we can safely bring people home.
British Prime Minister David Cameron. George H.W. Bush says in a new biography his son's vice president was too independent.
In the book titled Destiny and Power, the elder Bush says former Vice President Dick Cheney turned more hard line, describing him as an iron ass. Cheney, who is reading the book, says that's a mark of pride.
I was aggressive in defending and carrying out what I thought were the right policies.
Bush said of his son's defense chief, Donald Rumsfeld, there's a lack of humility. Rumsfeld declined comment.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last Friday, Pennsylvania Family Institute held its annual Friends of the Family Banquet, and we were joined by more than 900 pro-family friends and supporters from throughout Pennsylvania. The theme for the evening was Our Wilberforce Moment, and keynote speaker Eric Metaxas has eloquently written and spoken about the parallels between our time with the exposés on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and William Wilberforce's successful efforts to end the slave trade by exposing the British public to its horrors. Plus, we heard an uplifting testimony from Kelvin Cochran, the Atlanta fire chief who was fired for his faith. He told us how we can stand firm with joy and confidence in God. Thanks to all who joined us, and if you didn't, well, maybe we'll see you next year. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Visit our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and we ask you to do that, number one, because you can correspond with us at that site, but also, if you get away from your radio signal, why, and you have a computer, you can pick up the program there as well. That is www.standinthegapradio.com. It gives you the link to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area, and that is a good thing. Well, we're going to sort of talk more positive right now as we go to our great friend David New, our Washington Beat attorney. And David, you've been reading a book on the history of prayer in America. If there's ever a time we need prayer in America, it's now. But why don't you enlighten us a little bit about the history of prayer in this great nation of ours?
Yes, sir. I think it's probably the best book I have read on this subject in the last 25 years. The title of the book is One Nation Under God. The subtitle is The History of Prayer in America. It's written by James P. Moore, M-O-R-R-E, Jr. And I bought it for 99 cents on Amazon.com and paid the $3.99 shipping, so it was less than $5 to buy the book. It's over 450 pages. I'm around page 410. I was shocked at all the wonderful, wonderful things about prayer in this country. People who think that America doesn't have a spiritual history, when you read this thing, I just can't believe it. The detail he gives, not just the great Americans, but the ordinary Americans in every way. One of the things that he went into that I was too young at the time to understand the significance, but in the Apollo 8 mission, which was the first one to circle the moon and to take a picture of the Earth from the lunar horizon, on December 24th, 1968, one of the members of the crew was Frank Borman, and he was a member of the St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in League, Texas. He was a vestryman in that church, and on December 24th, 1968, he was scheduled to do the reading and the prayer in the church. Well, he had a problem. He was scheduled to be around flying around the moon on that time. And what did he do? He gave the very first prayer said in space to Earth. And the prayer went like this: Give us, O God, the vision which we can see thy love in the world in spite of human failure. Give us the faith to trust the goodness in spite of our ignorance and weakness. Give us the knowledge that we may continue to pray and with understanding hearts, and show us what each one of us can do to set forth the coming of the day of universal peace. Amen. And that prayer was said live right into that church. The whole country could see it. Then after the prayer, or either just before, but I believe it was after, the other two members of the Apollo 8 mission, Bill Anders and Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, each took a turn reading from Genesis, the first chapter, and the first 10 verses. And to celebrate that reading of the Word of God in space, the U.S. Post Office created a stamp with "In the Beginning, God."
I remember that.
In 1960. It's just unbelievable. Now, this is science in America on the frontier, pushing the envelope. And here, these three men are acknowledging God in America.
Today,
and this is the kind of thing we need to have in this country. And thank God for yesterday's election in Ohio, in Kentucky, and that awful situation that was going on in Houston.
Well, yeah, you know, you jumped from one. Boy, you're a jumper there, David. You've gone from one thing to another there. But let me go back to the first thing. And that is the idea of, prayer in America and how we used to really readily recognize God in this nation. And to David Kistler, if we'd have an astronaut go up in space and say anything about God, they'd probably try to shoot him out of the air. And
they'd pull him home, Gary, quickly.
how have we gotten there in this nation? Where we can't mention God.
Well, Gary, what's happened is this. I think Christians really, and we talk about this a lot, but Gary, we can't overemphasize it. Christians withdrew from the public marketplace. Mm. Somehow, some way, we felt like, you know, this is no place that we're supposed to be. We bought into the lie that we cannot express our faith in the public marketplace. We shouldn't live out our faith there. We stopped as Christians running for public office, and we basically surrendered the territory to the forces of evil. And now we're decrying what has happened in America. We need to re-enter these arenas and re-engage with a thorough understanding of what Brother David has just shared with us. And that is, this is our history. We are a thoroughly, not just religious people, we are a thoroughly Christian nation from the standpoint of a Judeo-Christian ethic. We need to arm ourselves with material like this, information that David's sharing, and re-enter and re-engage in the public marketplace.
Well, we do. And you know, Sam, we are talking about our history. We are talking about what this nation was founded upon, and how this nation was founded upon biblical principles, not just religion. As a matter of fact, back in the days of our founder, the word religion actually referred to the Christian religion, I believe. And, you know, certainly we have rejected a lot of the Christian religion in the United States of America today. But we've talked about this before. Let's bring together what we've talked about in the first segment with what we are talking about now, and that is Sharia law in the United States of America and the reality of a person being in Congress or in the White House who is Islamic. That really is something that is prevented by the Constitution of the United States of America, is it not, Sam Rohr?
Well, Gary, it is. The Constitution does not say that you have to be a Baptist or a Methodist or anything of that type. It doesn't say that, because that founders didn't say it. What they did say was that it was not possible to actually be able to enforce, not to enforce, but to make policy, to enforce law, to interpret law, to make law that would be consistent with the understanding of what we have within our Constitution, the thing we call the Bill of Rights, the concept of God as a creator and inalienable rights, and God as the judge of the universe, which our founders put in the Declaration of Independence. These concepts, which make the American Republican form of government unique among the history of the nations of the world, come only from one place. They do not come out of Islamic theology. They do not come out of atheistic ideology. They do not come anywhere else from out of biblical truth and principles. And this is what has to be protected. So when a person takes an oath, they really can't take an oath to enforce the Constitution or the laws of this country if they separate the concept that there is God and the Bible and biblical principles behind it. It's impossible, because they are intricately linked. So anybody, whether the Marxists of the past or the Islamists of the day, that want to come in and separate our law from the Bible, from God, is what David was saying, take "in God we trust" away, take these. If you take these fundamental underpinnings out, our form of government cannot continue. It's that critically linked, Gary.
David New, what must we do in the United States of America today to strengthen our form of government, with so many people trying to get away from it, misunderstanding it?
Well, I think that one thing we need to do is to reinstill prayer, clearly back in the public schools. It belongs there. I know one of the most famous prayers that millions of children are taught, the one called "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep." I don't know how many of y'all have been taught that prayer and said it. I know I did. And that prayer was written over 200 years ago. It was published in the New England Primer. And then there's another song that was written just before the Civil War started by Ann and Susan Warner, "Jesus Loves Me. This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." They were Sunday school teachers right outside of the West Point Military Academy in New York. And, of course, many of the men in the Civil War went with that song on their lips. What we need to do is reinstill prayer in America, but we need to restore the 10th Amendment, because the way the Supreme Court interprets the 14th Amendment, it basically wipes out the 10th Amendment completely.
And the 10th Amendment says what, David New?
Well, the 10th Amendment says that what's never not specifically given as a power to the United States federal government in the Constitution, what's ever left over, belongs to the states. That includes religion. That includes marriage. That includes education. All of these hot-button issues, these are all the things that the 10th Amendment leaves to the states, and the Supreme Court has attacked it effectively. Right now, you could take your scissors and cut it out because these people do not respect the Bill of Rights.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact that we need to get back to our founding principles in this nation, and as David Kistler says so many, many times, we just need to live our faith as our founders did, and if we lived our faith, I think we could get this nation back to where it ought to be, grounded upon the Bible and the Constitution with which I believe the Lord has given us. We're going to continue our discussion when we come back, and maybe about the 10th Amendment, but talk a little bit about Tuesday's election. So don't you go away. We will be back right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
We've all heard the child song, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to stand alone. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, have you ever stood alone? Are you willing to stand alone? As a young boy, Daniel stood alone. As a politician, he stood alone. As a preacher, he stood alone. Standing alone is not easy, but standing in the power of God's might for the sake of truth, for the sake of obedience to God's word, is required of all those who believe. You see, Daniel made it clear he worshiped God, that his faith was in God, and that his life revolved around God. His friends knew it, the king knew it, his enemies knew it. So when the command to not pray to God was given, Daniel did as he always did. He prayed, and then he stood alone with the lions. Unafraid, always trusting, Daniel stood alone. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, are you willing to stand alone for God today?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PCI Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow. Ooh. Ooh.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to shift just a little bit, although David New did talk about the 10th Amendment a moment ago, and boy, it would be great if we could get back to the educating people and not only educating people about the 10th Amendment, but enforcing the 10th Amendment. But I want to back up just a little bit and talk somewhat about Tuesday's elections. You know, with the outcome of last Tuesday's elections across the country, and I know that not every state had elections, but some interesting things have taken place, Sam. For instance, in the state of Ohio, the citizens refused to legalize recreational marijuana. Down in Kentucky, they elected a conservative governor by the name of Matt Bevin, who I think was the first Republican governor in about four decades. David New made reference to the citizens in Houston who voted down the LGBT as it related to an equal rights amendment there. In addition to that, since 2008, the Democrats have lost 12 governor seats in America. They've lost 900 state legislative seats in America. And the question that I have to you, Sam, is does it appear as though the United States of America is turning back towards conservatism, at least in some sectors? I mean, we talk about how Islam is growing and how prayer and Bible reading has been taken out of the public sector. But do we see in certain areas a turning back to conservatism?
Gary, I think that we do. Now, do I think that that we have people turning necessarily to God and directly to biblical truth that underpins it? Not necessarily yet in that regard. And I think that can happen if the pulpits regain their rightful duty and position and proclaim the truth. However, I think what we are seeing across the country is that regardless of where people are, unless you are an Islamist, unless you are an out-and-out Marxist who is working actively for the downfall of our nation, anyone else, be they Democrat or Republican, are seeing that we're in a wrong direction. They're seeing the ground shift under their feet. They're seeing the very basic things that are the reflect or representations of a free republic, blessings of God, meaning a good economy and jobs and those kinds of things. They see those things disappearing. And anyone who's thinking at all looks and says, all right, well, who's taking them away? And I believe they look and saying, well, these avid, ardent, arrogant, liberal entities up there that are speaking against all things moral, speaking against all things constitution, are more than we can take. And I think that those folks are seeing they're coming forth. I think that's why you see a reflection in much of these election results that you cited here across the country. So I think there is a move forward, Gary, and I'm seeing a developing fear on the part of many saying we've got to do something quickly. We must have a turnaround soon because the direction is not good. So I do take this as a bit of optimism and hope. Yes, I do.
But you indicated, I think, or at least implied in what you said there, that a return to conservatism does not mean a return to biblical truth. It does not indicate a spiritual revival.
Yes.
And that's true. But David Kistler, let me ask you this. Is conservatism a biblical concept?
Gary, I believe it is. I think conservatism has involved in it a free enterprise concept that is a reward incentive. If you look at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." That is a free enterprise capitalism reward incentive concept that you're going to be rewarded by the Lord for your labor for him as a believer. So, yes, I believe, Gary, that conservatism is a biblical concept. And if I could just follow up on what Sam said, I agree with him 100%. We cannot equate a turning back to conservatism as being synonymous with a turning back to God or a revival in America. However, I do see some very encouraging signs. Obviously, the world at large is not turning to God right now. The citizenry of the United States that does not know God are not necessarily turning to God right now. But I do see something very encouraging happening within the Church of Jesus Christ. Gary, last night, Sam, last night, I probably preached as direct a message as I've ever preached in my 31 years of evangelism. And the response was overwhelming. This kind of statement, why aren't more preachers saying this? We need to hear this. In fact, I said some things probably that really bordered on getting me into some trouble from the political standpoint because I was so direct. It had to do with morality, not politics, though some would deem it politics. But the people were not offended because the church is beginning to understand what's happening in our nation is not just a turning away from conservatism. We've turned away from God. So I see encouraging things within the church. And if that's where it starts, men, if my people, God says, will turn back to me and humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then he'll hear from heaven and we can see our land healed. But it starts with the church. And I'm beginning to see some very encouraging signs.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, Sam, yesterday when we put together our Stand in the Gap weekend, we talked about how significant it is for pastors to preach the truth, to preach the whole counsel of God. Why don't you elaborate upon that a little bit for us today? Because that's what's going to bring the church back to where it needs to be. That will have a positive impact upon our country.
Oh, Gary, absolutely. You know, the pulpits of America are places that people go historically to hear what? Well, to hear about God, to hear about direction and leadership and how to live and to know about truth, how to make decisions relative to how they raise your children and to act as parents and to be good employers and to be good employees and all of those kind of things. That all comes from the pulpit. Historically, it's where it's come from. But increasingly, the pulpits of America have been selective in what it has preached, meaning that we spend far less time talking about the biblical principles that actually apply to the issues of the day. For instance, does the Bible speak about government and its role and purpose? The answer is yes. How many times is it preached? Does the Bible speak about, for instance, the idea of accountability of all of those in authority? We're going to stand before God the judge one day. That would make a big difference if our folks in government understood that. But is that preached from the pulpit? No, by and large, it is not. Do we understand that it is a proper thing to be involved in civil government? The idea we call politics is God's creation, and that the church ought to be as concerned about that area as they are about the family? No, we very seldom hear that at all. So, Gary, we call that the whole counsel of God. Mm-hmm. That is the Bible in its entirety. If we take slices of it, and we preach only slices of it, I believe that the pastor in the pulpit could be guilty of trying to make himself God by choosing what he thinks the people need to hear rather than what God says they must hear. So, yes, that's what we talked about yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about this often here on the program, but I just want to say this, that if you go to a church where your pastor is not preaching the whole counsel of God, pray that he does. Encourage him to do so, and if he will not do so, find a church that does, simply because of the fact that we need to get back to the whole counsel of God. We need to get back to the authority of God. That is what's going to bring a change in the United States of America today. Well, have a great day. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again in about 23 hours. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.